Now, join me at a tremendously exciting moment. I'm busy. I've got stuff to do. I've got things to attend to that must be attended to today. And I've probably got things to do tomorrow that have to be attended to tomorrow. I don't know. I know for a fact I've got things to do on Friday that have to be attended to on Friday. And after that is anybody's guess. Anyway, that's the fact remains. I'm busy, so I'm going to hand you over to the me of the past, so that the me of the present can do things that I should have done in the past, but I couldn't because I was too busy being the me of the past and recording the stuff that you're about to hear. So I may as well get some value out of it and rerun some old material that most of you won't have heard before, but which is absolutely fucking fantastic. The me of the past had his good moments sometimes. He could love the time he was crap, but sometimes he did a good show, and you're about to hear one of them. Classic episode of Into Your Head, first broadcast at some point in the past. So here you go, and we'll be back soon with new material. Technically this is new material. This is 1 minute and 22 seconds of new material, but I can see why you might feel shortchanged if I call this a new show, so I won't. Even though it is, it's brand new. It's brand new classic Into Your Head, specially presented and introduced by me. If you got that on a DVD, if you got someone introducing an old TV show on a DVD, at PX the first, they call it the special bonus super deluxe box set of Into Your Head. Anyway, goodbye. Now, you join me at a tremendously exciting moment. This is Into Your Head 64. Now, that's going to cause some confusion. Not for you. It's not going to cause any confusion for you whatsoever. But it's going to cause confusion for me, because already today I've made Into Your Head number 63. And now I'm going on and starting 64 on the same day. But it's not going to go out on the same day. It's going to go out on a different day. It's going to go out on, I'd say, a weekday. Somewhere between Wednesday and Thursday. Now I know what you're thinking there. You're thinking there's only one split millisecond between Wednesday and Thursday, and it's on the stroke of midnight, and digital clocks don't even stroke at midnight, so you'll barely notice it going by. You'll have to stare at the digital clock and post the podcast at the exact moment when everything turns to 00000000. Possibly more zeros, depending on how exact your clock is. I know some of you have atomic clocks out there because you're geeks, and some of you don't have any clocks at all. Some of you live in the wilderness, probably live on top of a mountain somewhere with a you've got a little tube going down to a lake down in the valley, and you suck up water through the tube like the way you'd suck up petrol out of a petrol tank to try and get a flow going when you're trying to siphon off petrol. And I'm glad you don't live in the city, quite frankly, because you'd probably use those skills to steal petrol from people's cars or from other things that contain petrol. He'd probably go so far as to steal it from a petrol tank in a petrol station. But you get caught doing that. You have all sorts of cameras now. But of course, you live on a mountain, so you've never heard of cameras. You're not even on the internet. You're picking this up in... you're probably picking up some illegal pirate broadcast of Into Your Head from some local pirate station that pirates operate down on that frigging lake. And you've got a big, huge antenna set up on top of your mountain. But joke's on you, because you don't realise if you're up on top of the mountain, you don't need a giant antenna to pick up radio waves. You just need a little small one. Because you're up high enough. Unless it's some sort of weird mountain it's a mountain that's in the middle of the bottom of a valley, and the valley is flanked by much taller mountains. Well, in that case, you're a very bad chooser of mountains. If you pick a mountain that's set in the middle of a valley, you have all the disadvantages of living on a mountain and none of the advantages. When you go to work in the morning, you have to go down that mountain, and then you have to go up the sides of the valley and off to wherever the freaking hell it is that you work. And don't try and tell me that you're a farmer on that mountain, because you're not going to run any sort of a proper farm on a mountain that's set in the middle of a valley. It'll be extremely inefficient, so don't try any of that crap with me. I don't like listeners lying to me. I know what you're thinking at this point. You're thinking, Neil, it's not a very good idea to start off an episode of your podcast that you're trying to make popular by accusing the listener of stealing, and accusing the listener basically of having to live in the middle of nowhere just to, so that he can resist the urge, he or she can resist the urge to steal petrol and siphon it off from petrol station tanks. Well, I'm only talking about one of the listeners. I'm not talking about all of them. I've got a three-figure number of listeners listening to Into Your Head, and I'm only accusing one of them of stealing or being a potential criminal. And I'm not even accusing them of stealing. I'm just saying that if he or she lived in the city, he or she would steal things, and probably rape people as well. Probably rape cats, and probably go around slitting people's throats just for the sheer hell of it. Not for any profit, because they'd get their profit by selling on the petrol on the black market. They'd have to sell it pretty quickly, because if they're siphoning it off with their mouth by sucking, they're going to have to swallow the petrol, probably keep it in a plastic bag in their stomach to hide it to hide it when they're going through customs. Although, come to think of it, you're probably going to have to go through customs. You could just sell it in the same country where you bought it. You might as well. I mean, why would you want to export petrol to another country? That's fucking ridiculous. You import petrol, you don't export petrol. Petrol is something that you bring into the country, and it never leaves the country. You bring it in, and you put it in some sort of a engine that burns petrol and uses the energy for some purpose, such as moving, and basically converts it into kinetic energy, and the kinetic energy moves the people somewhere. They're probably moves them to a petrol station where they can buy more petrol, or maybe they've just gone down to the petrol station to buy some groceries. But they're still going to need groceries to get to the petrol station anyway, and that's where our one criminal listener comes in. He sells them black market petrol. He delivers it to their house, or else he sells it to them on a street corner. He watches out for people who are just running out of petrol. He waits at the bottom of the hill, and he sees them freewheeling down to the bottom of the hill, and then he says, you're not going to get much further with no engine on. I'll sell you this black market petrol, and that'll get you as far as the petrol station, and you can buy some groceries there, and maybe some petrol, or hopefully you'll forget because of all the distractions that are in a petrol station shop nowadays. You'll go around picking up special offers of digestive biscuits and indigestive biscuits and whole meal bread and all sorts of crap, and then you'll forget about the petrol that you came in for. So you'll see me on the way home again, and I'll sell you another round of petrol. Don't worry about that. I'll sell you some petrol. Ironically, I'm selling it in empty soda bottles that I got from the local shop. I have a little deal going with them. They give me their empty bottles, and I take them. They're delighted. They think I'm recycling them, which in a way I am. I'm recycling them by using them as petrol containers, and that's fine. A petrol station is something that you say twice when you don't know what you're going to say next, and you stumble, and then you decide you're going to have to press stop and say, this is going to be the end of this segment. I didn't have anything further to say about that anyway. I think we've brought the petrol station saga to its natural conclusion, so we'll conclude it here naturally. So there you go.
Hello. For the past year, I've devoted my life to researching a very special genre of Irish storytelling. And today, in this special presentation, I'm going to introduce you to some of the best examples. Two cats walk into a bar. They look around, carefully assessing the situation. Which is a bit stupid, really, because it's just a bar. I mean, for Christ's sake, it's not as if they're undercover agents working on behalf of the local bank and checking out whether the property named on the mortgage documentation genuinely belongs to the loanee. Well, actually they are, but they're off duty. You know, everyone needs a night off. Anywho, two cats walk into a bar. One of them sits down, while the other one goes up to the bar to order a drink. The cat who sat down is promptly removed by bar staff, as they don't take kindly to cats peeing all over the place. The other cat has a more positive experience at first. He gets served his drink, after which he strolls over to a table and sits down. Then he realises the other cat is gone. Must have got booted out for peeing all over the floor again, he thinks. And how the hell does he manage to do it sitting down, anyway? Oh well, he says to himself. This has been such a waste, buying two drinks when one of them isn't even going to be drunk. Not as if I'm going to be able to get through two pints of Guinness on my own. After all, I'm only a cat. And he's also a little disappointed, because after all, now he's got no one to talk to. Sure, there are plenty of other cats in the bar who he knows, but none of them have the ability to speak, owing to the fact that they don't have fully developed vocal cords and a full working knowledge of the English language. Well, one of them has fully working vocal cords, but he had them removed so that he could make them into a ball of string and play with them behind a solid fuel cooker. Sadly, the punchline to this classic piece of cat drinking folklore has been lost with the passage of time. But I think you'll agree the remainder of this work is still worth passing on through the generations. Okay, anyway, here's Neil O'Carroll.
Now that we've come to that natural conclusion, I think it's time for a cat song. We had a rather gloomy cat song in the previous episode. That's because we had some things to get off our chest about our cat who went missing. But we'll do a more cheerful one now, don't worry. We won't want to drag you all down into the depths of depression by having a new song about a different missing cat every week. We'll only do that if we lose one cat every week. But that's only going to happen for 3 weeks in a row at the most, unless we manage to accumulate more cats than we can lose. So I don't think that's likely. Well, no, that doesn't make sense. I mean, unless we can... It probably does make sense. I don't know. I'll have to listen back later and we'll see. And I'll probably be listening back to it at the same time as you listen to it, so that'll be fine. We can both go through it together, and we can make notes, and you can go and make your little notes in the guestbook at intoyourhead.com/stalk, or record a voicemail there in the same place, and we'll compare notes. And then we'll decide what we're going to do then. But here we go. It's time for a cat song. I'll just make the musical equivalent of turning the first sod of turf. So I'll make the first guitar pluck. And there we go. That's the hardest bit. That's the first guitar pluck. We now continue with as many plucks as we want. And then I'll start singing in a moment when something comes to me. So here goes. It's your cat song. This is a cat song. This is a cat song. Just because I say that doesn't make it true. Although if I mention cat enough times, then the count says a cat song. Oh, that's 'cause I made the rules. I made the cat song rules. I think that's fair because I'm one of the most prolific publisher of cat songs in the world. I've published many cat songs on my podcast, both by me and my wife Joanne, so I think that entitles me to a say in what are going to be the norms of the cat song production industry. And I know what you're thinking there, it's not an industry, and you're not singing anymore either, so you must remember to sing. Well, I'm doing a talking song for a change. If anyone has a problem with that, I don't care. I'm one of the lead proponents of cat songs in the world, and I can do whatever way I want. I make the rules. I wouldn't say it goes so far to say I'm the Paul McCartney of the cat song world, but I certainly am the... one of the guys out of the monkeys of the cat song world. One of the better guys. I'd say that guy, Peter, what's his name? Peter something. Or the other guy. Duran. What was that their name? Duran something, anyway. Duran. I don't think the two words in that pop song, in that pop group's name, are pronounced the same way. Duran. I think it's Duran, or Duran. I don't know. I'll probably check that. There's no way of checking that on the internet, of course, because the internet is all text. You can't check a pronunciation by reading it. There's no way of doing that unless you've taken some sort of a course in how to read dictionaries and read all the little symbols that show how things are pronounced. But even then, there's not going to be two separate entries for Duran in the dictionary, and it's not going to say which of those is which in the name Duran, so it's not going to help at all. You might find out what the two different pronunciations of Duran are, but you won't know whether the pronunciation A refers to the first word in Duran or the second one. Unless you check with Duran Duran themselves, but I don't think they have a regular person who replies to questions like that. They might have a frequently asked questions thing on their website, but probably not again, because it's a pop group website. Don't have things like that. They're not like geeky technology websites. They don't have an FAQ. They have things like pictures of the stars naked and bits of album lyrics and all that sort of thing. So let's not get ourselves into a big thing where we're hoping that we're going to find out how to pronounce Duran Duran properly, because it's not going to happen. There's no point. There's no point letting this become an obsession. There you go. That was the cat song for this week.
Cats walk into a bar. They are accompanied by three Irishmen, a Scotsman, a couple of giraffes, sure why not, two penguins, 28, no, wait, no, no, let's say 30 small mountain goats, a copy of the Kildare Nationalist, dated 15th of September 1958, an embarrassingly amateur mime artist, for whom you applaud anyway out of politeness, because you feel sorry for him, 10 situation comedy script writers, an Englishman, a nun, a priest, a non-edible French snail, a packet of salt and vinegar flavoured crisps, and a metaphor. So, they all go into the bar, and the priest turns to the first cat and says, "It's very crowded in here, isn't it? Let's try somewhere else." So, they all turn around and walk back out again.
What you're thinking there, you're thinking that's not a cat song. Well, if you bother to listen to the lyrics towards the beginning of that cat song, which indeed it was a cat song, you would have heard me say the word cat several times. In fact, I sang the word cat several times, and I even established in the content of the lyrics that I felt that a cat song was any song that had the word cat in it several times. So there you go. There are several songs that people think of as cat songs that don't even have a large number of cat mentions in it. I mean, there's Love Cats by The Cure, there's Delilah by Queen. Delilah by Queen, I don't think even mentions the word cat once. In fact, let's just check that. It's actually one of my favourite songs. I don't mean any disrespect to Freddie Mercury when I say that, but I don't think the word cat is mentioned during the song Delilah. Which is about one of Freddie Mercury's cats. So let's do a search for that. We'll go lyrics, Queen, Delilah. Here we go. And in fact, that's not it. Bear with me a moment. I could probably press pause here, but I'm busy, so I won't. Now here we go. Okay, well it says claws. That's not a cat. No, there's not one mention of the word cat in the song Delilah. It's because it's all you. It's referring to the cat in the second person, not the third person. So he doesn't say my cat. He doesn't say you're a cat when he's talking to the cat. So he does say meow several times. So I suppose that would establish it as a cat song. Maybe. Well, I don't know. If you say meow several times during a cat song, that doesn't mean it's about a cat. It could be just people do go meow when someone is bitchy. Some people say ooh meow, so he could be just saying that someone called Delilah is bitchy. Now that brings me to something else. There's a Tom Jones song of the same name that's called Delilah too. And it'd be interesting to see if there's any cat-related material in that. I don't think that's about a cat. That would be too much of a coincidence, but we'll just see now. Tom Jones, Delilah lyrics. I saw the light on the night I passed by her window. Well, there you go. That's quite a cat thing. A cat would pass by a window and see a light in the night. Cats do that sort of thing. They creep around at night on windowsills. So maybe Delilah by Tom Jones is more of a cat song than Delilah by Freddie Mercury. That would be quite something, wouldn't it? Let's see. What else is there? I crossed the street to her home and she opened the door. Well, that's exactly what cats do at my mother's house. When she comes home from shopping, there's a stray cat who runs over to her when she sees her coming home from shopping at lunchtime every day. And my mother lets her in and feeds the cat chicken. So there you go. Who'd have thought it? Delilah by Tom Jones is more of a cat song than Delilah by Freddie Mercury, who wrote that song supposedly about one of his cats. So you learn something new every day. Tremendously exciting moment. It's a crossroads in this episode of Into Your Head. I've just been doing some editing of the segments that I've recorded so far, and I've realised that at the moment in total the show is about 20 minutes long, and if I were to leave it at that, it would be one of the shortest episodes ever of Into Your Head. I'm absolutely fine with that. I'm not afraid of things being short. I'm not afraid to leave things curtailed. But I know what's happened before at this point. I've come in at the end and I've pointed this out. I've come in and recorded myself saying I've just noticed that this is going to be one of the shortest shows ever. And then what happens is I record this long segment talking about the fact that it's the shortest show ever. And then that ruins the whole thing. It turns out to be 4 hours long. And it looks like that's about to happen here. I'm already 51 seconds into this segment I'm recording, and all I've said is that it's the shortest show ever, but I'm probably going to stretch this out now to 4 hours, so we'll change what I've just said. We'll say it's going to be the longest show ever recorded of Into Your Head. It's going to be at least 8 hours and 52 minutes long, unless I've got that wrong too, and I've completely overestimated it. I've overcompensated for my underestimation. So maybe there's some happy medium in between. Maybe it's just going to be an average length episode, and everything is going to be average and normal. It'll be like you go out on a Monday morning and it's neither raining cats and dogs nor is the sun splitting the rocks. It's somewhere in between. It's mild. The sky is semi-covered in cloud and semi-blue, I suppose. I suppose I've never thought of a sky as naked before when it doesn't have clouds. A sky doesn't wear clothes. That's fucking ridiculous. A sky is naked at night when there's no clouds, and when you can see the stars, because the stars are exposed, they're unclothed. You can't see the stars during the day because the sky is dressed. It's got all its atmosphere on and all its clouds and all its whatever the hell it wears during the daytime. It wears stuff during the daytime, and then at night it sheds all its stuff, and that's why the Earth is open at night. You can see the stars, you can see out into space, you can see out past Mars, past Pluto, maybe past Neptune even. The great god of Neptunus, of course, is in charge of Neptune. So there you go. Hold on a second now. Now, I just pressed pause there because I decided to cough, because there was a cough coming anyway, so I thought I'd make use of the opportunity to clear my throat and clear all the phlegm and disgusting stuff that was blocking my throat and preventing me from speaking properly, and then making me able to think of nothing else other than the fact that I needed to cough. So I did cough, and I think you might have heard half a second of the first cough, and then I hit the pause button, and that's the second time I've said hit pause during this episode, and I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, back at the beginning of the cat song, I said something about hitting, oh no, at the end of the cat song, when I was looking up the thing about Delilah, I talked about pressing the pause button, and I failed to notice the irony of pause being something that a cat has. Well, I wasn't talking about pause that a cat has. That's spelt differently. That's spelt P-A-W-S, and the pause I was talking about was spelt P-A-U-S-E. Unless you're speaking in language other than English, there's probably some language somewhere where the two pauses neither of them exist, and there's no word for a cat's feet, and there's no word for temporarily stopping something, so they probably have some swear word that they use at either time. But they're not actually using the swear word to mean pause or pause. They're using the swear word as an exclamation to say, I'm trying to say something and I've no word for it because there's no word in this stupid fucking language, oh for fuck's sake. They're not actually replacing the word pause with the word fuck, because the word fuck isn't another word for pause in their language, it's just that they can't think of a word to use. So they have to sort of exclaim instead. They're just letting off frustration, venting. So basically, that's it. Don't become confused by that thing. There's no word for pause or pause. Neither of those words, no matter what way you spell them in some languages. So the word. I suppose the F word does come in useful in situations like that where you can't think of a word. What happens if you can't think of the word fuck? What do you do then? You can't just say, you might be having a discussion about the word fuck, and you'll say, you'll probably say something like, now you know that word that people are always using that begins with F, what's it called? I'm trying to remember it now. Oh, for fuck's sake, what is it? No, that won't work at all. People will think you're trying to be funny, and you're probably at some serious lecture. You're probably at some legal lecture or some seminar where they're trying to decide the future of the word fuck, which is actually an old legal term. It means full, unlawful, carnal knowledge. And they're trying to look serious because the journalists are there, the tabloid media are there, and they're waiting for any opportunity for some tacky joke to come up. So you're going to make everyone look stupid. You're going to make this conference a disaster. It's going to end up on the front pages of the tacky tabloid newspapers, and they'll say, this guy came up and did this speech where he pretended he couldn't remember the word fuck, and he said, oh, fuck. And that's going to distract from the whole thing. So it's hardly a diplomatic way to go about it. Well, not diplomatic, and hardly, I don't know, whatever the word is for the right marketing thing to do. Oh, fuck, I can't remember it.
If you would like to comment on any of the issues raised in today's programme, visit the Stalkers Forum guestbook at our website, intoyourhead.com, or email us at studio@intoyourhead.com. Remember, we value the opinions of you, the humble and ignorant listener.